Hey everybody, you're listening to Swift News. This is the weekly news show all about iOS development where I take everything I found on Twitter, newsletters, Slack channels, YouTube, you name it, I curate all that information into a weekly show for you to make sure you stay up to date. Now this is the audio version of the show that I usually do on my YouTube channel, youtube.com/SeanAllen, all about iOS development. And on that show, I'll usually have the blog post up and I'll be highlighting the text that I'm talking about. When I show videos of the ARKit examples, you can actually see them. So this podcast is for people that are on the go and can't sit in front of the computer but still want the news. However, if you do want to see all those visuals that I talk about, be sure to check out the YouTube video. All right, with that out of the way, on to Swift News. What's up everybody? It's Monday. Time for some Swift news. Now, last week I debuted this Swift news hoodie, and I kind of made a joke about it, and people didn't realize that, yes, they are actually on sale if you would like one. They didn't know where to get them, so there is going to be a link at the top of the description if you are interested in that. I don't know why you wouldn't be. Like I said, they're magical. You're going to get plus 10 to all stats. You're going to go from this to this just by putting it on, so yeah, why wouldn't you? Anyway, let's dive into the news. To start things off this week, we got an article from Phil Ferrugia about recreating the Siri shortcuts drawer. Now, I've talked about this a lot, how the bottom slide-up card menu, drawer, whatever you want to call it, is becoming a very, very prominent thing in the new iOSs as the phones get taller and skinnier. The phones aren't getting skinnier, but because they're taller, they seem skinnier. Anyway, so basically he recreated the Siri shortcuts drawer. And this was particularly interesting to me because I'm implementing something very similar in my app. So Phil really took the time to break down how this was built. And again, this is a super in-depth tutorial, so we're just gonna give the overview. If you're interested, check it out yourself. As always, links in the description. But I really like how he kind of broke down the, I'm trying to get to this picture here. Like how he broke down like how this is actually going to work. And kind of the point of this article he gets to in the conclusion is oftentimes it's pretty fun and interesting to see a feature in iOS and just try to recreate it yourself. Like don't look at the source code. Don't somehow find out exactly how they did it. Just say, how would I implement that? And that was kind of his exercise here. And again, I'm just going to scroll quickly. He goes through basically how to recreate it. If you want to follow along the tutorial kind of, you can read it. But again, it's quite long, but I think it's a great example of, like I said, looking at a feature and then trying to build it yourself. And then, so here's his final product here, what he built. You know, the card slides up. You can slide it up like halfway and then full way to fill up most of the screen. And then he does put the code on GitHub if you want to check it out. And he even says, I've open sourced this code for this experiment on GitHub. Feel free to fork it and make changes. I do not currently support this as a reusable CocoaPod, so it's not like an official thing. It's just an experiment he did. And he says, if you like, use this as a basis for building your own. So I appreciate that, Phil, putting it out there. And yeah, definitely check it out if you're interested in learning how to build this slide-up card view that you see in Shortcuts. But if you're just lazy, you don't want to build it yourself, there is, well, you could use Phil's GitHub project, but there is also a library called Floating Panel that essentially does the same thing. If you're lazy and you don't want to build it yourself and learn, I sound like I'm scolding people that are just going to pop in the pod. I don't care. I'm not your dad. Do what you want to do. But you can either build it here with Phil's article, or if you just want to drop it in a pod, here you go. Now, they're not exactly the same, but, you know, similar. Next up, I have a GitHub repo I want to share called Awesome iOS, and it's basically just a great resource for almost anything you can think of. So if you look down here, it's how to use, basically there's this table of contents. And the purpose of this is if you're trying to implement something and you're not sure like what all is out there. So let's take charts, for example, here. Everything's in alphabetical order. You can see all the features, charts, networking, permissions, all this kind of stuff. But let's do charts as an example because there's a lot of them. So you click on charts, and then here's all the charting libraries for iOS. So charts, this is the one I use mostly, but there are a ton. And again, it's just in alphabetical order, code quality, all this stuff you can click on. So let's go like click on charts, and it's just a link to the library that you can use, and then they will also have readmes, of course. So like I said, it's just a good central database to look at. For pretty much any feature you can think of, you know, they even have some ARKit stuff here, ARKit video kit. I haven't clicked on this. I have no idea what this is. So yeah, again, if you're trying to build a feature and you're not sure where to start or what tools are out there, definitely go to Awesome iOS because it's an awesome repo. I don't know. Yeah, Check it out. Next up, I wanted to talk about phased releases. Now, this was actually announced last year at DubDub, so 2017. So this isn't exactly news. You know, it's not new, but I didn't know about it. So it's news to me. And if I didn't know about it, there's a good chance a lot of people out there didn't know about it. Not that I know everything, but I do spend a ridiculous amount of time looking at Swift stuff, and this one slipped through the cracks for me. So anyway, basically what this is, it's a simple checkbox in iTunes Connect that you can phase out your releases to your user base slowly over time. So if you maybe have a huge change and you want to just slowly release it, you know, day one, 1% of your audience, day two, 2%, 5%. This way, if something breaks, like unexpected or you know, something crazy happens, you can stop the release, fix it, and then re-release it before it goes out to 100% of your users. So again, this isn't, you know, going to be something you use all the time, but you know, it is an interesting way to slowly release your app so you can catch any crazy unforeseen things that happen. Moving on, let's talk about everybody's favorite topic, MVC. So I get asked a ton of architecture type questions, and as Dave DeLong here says in this series of articles, there's five articles about kind of like fixing MVC, or it's called a better MVC. So the first one talks about, you know, all the problems with MVC, how to fix encapsulation, fixing massive view controller, future directions, and then part five is a recent addition called an evolution, because as you can see the date here, this was done, you know, last year. His thinking has kind of evolved and changed. So I would definitely recommend reading through. They're not crazy long, each one, but read through parts one through five, and then certainly five and an evolution. So he says it right here, about 5 months ago, I wrote about improving MVC and fixing the massive view controller problem. He's referring to articles, you know, one through four. In the intervening months, I've had more time to consider this evolution and its implications, and I've come to more conclusions. This post is an update on how my thinking has changed. And the reason I like this is because this is how I think as well. Like, everybody wants a design pattern. Like, let me follow this blueprint, you know, and this is kind of the way I think about MVC. He says MVC is a philosophy. It's not a pattern. So it's not like, you know, hardcore black and white, this is what you follow. You know, say MVC says that your data is distinct from your business logic, which is separate from its visual representation. So yeah, so if you've been confused about MVC and how to use it, I highly recommend reading through these articles, or if you are more visual and you just want to watch a movie, he does have a lot of talks on this. He's done a talk at a bunch of conferences. Here's the YouTube video link at the bottom of this post. Again, if you're just uncertain, you know, MVC, MVVM, what should I use? What are the benefits? Definitely give this article a look. I think things will start to become clearer for you. All right, now let's talk about shortcuts. Now, this is it's a long article. And the first half of it is kind of talking about like the history of kind of computing a little bit, talking about how humans are tool builders. That does all lead into, there's actually a pretty good link to a Steve Jobs video too, if you want to check that out. But it does lead into an interesting thought that I've seen people talk about on Twitter, and I've thought about as well. Well, first of all, he talked about, you know, anyone can code, and he's like, no, they can't. Not anyone can just make an app. Said Exhibit A, people don't. So it is kind of tricky. Like, I do believe anyone can, if they have the enjoyment to do it and they really put in the effort. Yeah, they can, but not everybody enjoys it and not everybody puts in the effort. But his point is with computers and automation, he hasn't been able to like tinker with his phone. And he says like shortcuts really, really allows him to do that. Like, now he can, if he doesn't like something about his phone, you know, he's not a programmer, he's not gonna go in and build his own app, but now with shortcuts, he can tinker with his phone and start building. And the thought that this brought up that I kind of alluded to earlier was, back in the day, and I don't know how old you are, but a lot of kids were turned on to programming by programming their TI-85 calculators in math class, you know, simple programming, simple tinkering, but that is what, you know, piqued their curiosity into coding. And I think shortcuts could potentially be like the future version of that. And again, this is not my original idea. I've heard people talk about it, but it's very interesting to me that kids now, if they start playing with shortcuts, because if you've played and tried to build your shortcuts, I mean, there's like conditionals, like if then statements, like it's kind of programming. So could this be like the, you know, spark that, you know, has children now wanting to program because they're like, yeah, I used to program shortcuts on my iPhone back in the day, and now I want to be a programmer. So just another interesting tidbit about shortcuts. And then he goes through a bunch of the shortcuts he created. So if you're looking for some ideas for some shortcuts, there's some good ones in here too. But again, I just really like the idea of tinkering with your phone and shortcuts, maybe being the catalyst for a young person or even an older person to start learning how to program. Or if you don't go that far with it, it at least gives you the ability to tinker with your phone without being a programmer. So again, just another win for shortcuts, in my opinion. As you know, I'm pounding the drum. I'm big on these shortcuts. Next up, let's talk about an app from Matt Moss called Hawkeye Access. Now, he did a prototype of this a few months back. I featured that. But now this is a more full-fledged app. It's a web browser that you can browse with your eyes, as you can see in the video. This is awesome. I think this is just the beginning of things like this. This is the first thing I've seen that's like an official app. It is on the App Store. If you click here, if you want to go ahead, download that, give that a try. There it is, Hawkeye Access, and start browsing the web with your eyes. Now, if you read the reviews, you know, a lot of people say it's cool. It's a pretty cool concept. Sometimes it's a little clunky, but that's to be expected. I mean, this is like the first of its kind, and I'm sure Matt is going to tweak it and make it better. This is like the initial release. So download that, give that a shot. Let me know what you think. All right, watch faces. If you haven't really seen on Twitter, there's been a, you know, a lot of people have been creating their own custom watch faces. Here's one that's awesome. You'll see in a little bit, as it goes from 1928 to 1929, Mario jumps up and changes the time. I want this pretty badly. I don't know how I feel about Apple just opening it up to third-party watch developers and letting everybody go crazy. Not sure how I feel about that. Like, I get why they don't. But if they can have like carefully curated, cool third-party watch faces, yeah, stuff like this, I think would be pretty cool. Now for the design portion of the show, I want to recommend Muzli. Follow them on Medium, M-U-Z-L-I. It's just inspiration, you know, if you're designing an app. They post all the time, and you just scroll through real quick. You can see these interactions are showing off. And like I said, it's just for inspiration. If you're building an app, designing an app, or wondering how to build a certain feature, I just scroll through this like every day, every morning as part of my morning web checking routine, and just kind of get inspiration for ideas or something that would be cool to build. And this is just one of their posts. Like I said, you click on them. Made with Studio, this is number 30. They do this weekly. They do a whole bunch of them. Look, they're already on 32. I'm behind. But yeah, they just do a whole bunch of posts. And yeah, if you want design inspiration or interested in design, this is like a must follow. There's so much good stuff they post. And continuing with design, here's a good post on useful hints to build a perfect design for iPhone. Is that X's or XS? Who cares? So basically, it gives you all the, you know, the screen dimensions and how you should be designing now that the aspect ratios are different and the phones are a lot longer. I wanted to bring this up because on one of my other videos, a topic of discussion got brought up about how, at least developers anyway, I don't know if designers are still doing this, but developers like to design for the iPhone SE or the iPhone 5, the super small phone first, and then, you know, it'll just scale up and be fine. I just disagree with that. I think that probably was a good way before that the family of X's came out, the longer phones with the notch. My opinion is that if you do design for the smaller one and just kind of blow it up for the bigger one, you're really designing for the minority and sacrificing quality for the majority, because the majority of the people are going to have the, you know, iPhone X family of phones. So I disagree with that mindset. And if anybody does have that mindset out there, I hope sharing this will make you rethink that. My personal opinion is I would rather have a beautiful looking design on the iPhone X family of phones and then have to do a little bit of extra work for the iPhone 5S or SE to manipulate the design to get it to work, and have the sacrifice being made be made for the iPhone SE screen size, not the beautiful iPhone XS full screen, right? I want to design for that first. So, and again, these are just some tips, you know, the dimensions, talking about how, you know, now the status bar is bigger, don't hide the notch. A lot of this stuff is well known, but really, I just wanted an excuse to talk about that whole design philosophy of not designing for the SE first. But there is good information here about the specific specs of how to design for the X. So if you are designing for the SE first, check out this article. All right, let's talk about some AR. Now, it's not AR kit, but it's still AR. And he got fluid working in AR. So you can see this little puddle of water being bounced around the room. You know, it'll go up against walls. I thought this was really cool. And again, the reason why I feature all this AR stuff is because we're so early. And I know this isn't AR kit, but I think pretty much all the AR platforms are going to have this in the future. So AR kit will have this eventually, but still super cool getting these, you know, fluid physics working in AR. So I always like fast forward the clock 5 years and just kind of think of where we'll be. And I don't know. I'm excited. And now for our LOLs of the week. As you know, the Apple event is tomorrow. If you're watching this on Monday, if you're not watching this on Monday, I think you need to get your priorities in order and watch this on Monday. But the invite for the Apple event went out with a couple hundred different designs for the Apple logo. And there's more in the making. So someone put dongles in there for there's more in the making, more dongles on the way. Thought that was pretty funny. And then lastly, you know, this made me laugh and cry a little, he says, but basically new programmers just walk onto a rake, hits their face. Experienced programmers, you know, do a kick flip, land it, and then it hits them in the face. So basically saying all programmers mess up. Experienced programmers just do it in maybe a more spectacular fashion, but I thought this was pretty funny. That wraps it up for this week's episode of Swift News. If you like what I'm doing here, consider subscribing. I put out this show every Monday and then a tutorial or two throughout the week. See you in the next one.